Good afternoon. This is the December 14th, 2022, afternoon session of the Portland City Council. Keelan, please call the roll.
Good afternoon. Matt.
Here.
Rubio.
Here.
Ryan.
Here.
Hardesty.
Here.
Wheeler.
Thank you, Commissioner. Welcome to Portland City Council. City Council is holding hybrid public meetings with in-person attendance in addition to electronic attendance. If you wish to testify before council in person or virtually, you must sign up in advance by visiting the council agenda on the council clerk's webpage at www.portland.gov/council/agenda. You may sign up for communications to briefly speak about any subject. You may also sign up for public testimony and resolutions, reports, or the first readings of ordinances. Written testimony may be submitted at cctestimony@portlandoregon.gov. Your testimony should address the matter being considered at the time. When testifying, please state your name for the record. Your address is not necessary. Please disclose if you are a lobbyist. If you are representing an organization, please identify it. For testifiers joining virtually, please unmute yourself once the council clerk calls your name. The presiding officer preserves order and decorum during city council meetings so everyone can feel welcome, comfortable, respected, and safe. The presiding officer determines the length of testimony. Individuals generally have 3 minutes to testify unless otherwise stated. A timer will indicate when your time is done. Disruptive conduct such as shouting, refusing to conclude your testimony when your time is up, or interrupting others' testimony or council deliberations will not be allowed. If there are disruptions, a warning will be given that further disruption may result in the person being ejected for the remainder of the meeting. After being ejected, a person who fails to leave the meeting is subject to arrest for trespass. Additionally, council may take a short recess and reconvene virtually. Thank you.
Thank you. We have one time certain item on this afternoon's agenda. Keelan, please read the title for 1065.
Accept the City of Portland Annual Comprehensive Financial Report for fiscal year ended June 30, 2022 and corresponding financial audit.
Colleagues, this report comes to us from the Bureau of Revenue and Finance. I'll now turn the floor over to staff and I'll invite you to come on up.
Do anything special to speak or start talking?
Just start talking, tell us who you are, and anything else that should happen right here? Just tell us who you are and we'll figure it out as we go.
All right, thank you very much. Good afternoon, commissioners. For the record, my name is Ronald Bott. I'm the city's controller. Joining me today are my colleague Sheila Craig, who's the grants manager, and Kevin Sanders, who's our accounting supervisor over the reporting group. After our brief presentation, you will hear from Keith Simovic from Moss Adams. Next slide. The Accounting and Grants Management Division within the Bureau of Revenue and Financial Services is made up of four sections, and there are 34 positions. A division is responsible for managing and incoming and outgoing grants, paying the city's bills, management and training related to systems, establishing financial policies, internal control monitoring, and internal and external financial reporting. Today we are here with the division's financial reporting team to present the annual comprehensive financial report, also known as the ACFR, for fiscal year ended June 30th, 2022. A few members of the team who prepared this report are here today, and I would like them to stand and be recognized.
Aww.
Thank you much. Kevin and I will be discussing highlights and financial trends from the ACFR and look at some of the financial, some of the historical trends. Then Sheila will talk about federal grants. Next slide, please. Copies of the annual report were delivered to each of your offices earlier today. The preparation of the annual report is an extensive project which requires a group effort to make it a success. The city auditor's office is responsible for contracting with a CPA firm and managing the actual audit contract. And us in the accounting division start the process in January There's an April kickoff meeting where we meet with all the bureaus and talk to them about what their responsibilities and deliveries, deliverables are going to be. And then the staff from across the city then works with us and the auditors for about 6 months to compile a report and provide Moss Adams with everything that they need to reach an opinion. It is an interesting process. I really enjoy doing it. Next slide, please. Now we will discuss highlights from the fiscal year 22 annual report. First, I'd like to point out that the city continues to publish the annual report within 4 months of the end of the fiscal year, which ensures that information is relevant and useful for decision making by bond analysts, our investors, the public, and the staff. And people don't really think about it this way, but we really do have investors. We've got about $3 billion in bonds outstanding, and those people depend on this report to help them make their financial decisions. The good news, as you will soon hear, is that our external auditors gave the city an unmodified or clean opinion and found no material weaknesses in the city's accounting process. In addition, the annual report complies with state law and generally accepted accounting principle. We received the Government Finance Officers Association Award of Excellence for financial reporting for the 41st consecutive year. Next slide, please. It is extraordinary.
That is not usual, but I did not want you to just casually go over that. Yeah. That is pretty remarkable. Thank you for the great.
Thank you. The city's accounting system tracks transactions using two measurement focuses and three bases of accounting. Most discussions that you all hear about are on the budgetary base of accounting, but the financial statements report using the other two bases of accounting. Now, in the back of the report, you will find in supplemental information budget schedules that do report on the budgetary basis of accounting. At the highest level of reporting, we have government-wide financial statements, which use the accrual basis of accounting. These are made up of governmental activities and business type activities. Now, governmental activities is things like the general fund and all of our internal service funds, so like BTS and facilities and that sort of stuff. Business type activities are things like water and BES. Governmental activities net position went up from a negative $2 billion to a negative $1.7 billion due to reduced pension expenses, improving revenues, and replacement of capital assets in excess of depreciation. Net position here is negative as a result of the funding of FPD&R through property taxes. The actuaries tell us every 2 years that the levy is adequate to always pay for the liability, but under governmental accounting standards board's rules, we can't recognize that particular asset to offset the liability. So we end up with a big $4 billion asset liability on our books. This is the first time in 11 years that net position actually improved. Business type activities net position increased from $3.5 billion to $3.6 billion, again due to reduced pension expense, improved revenues, and increases in capital assets. Now we'll run through a few slides that show some trends using this basis of accounting. Next slide, please. So this slide shows trends in the cost of our capital asset less accumulated depreciation over the past two decades. As has been discussed here many times, this shows how business type activities have been able to not only beat the depreciation rate, but to actually double our net book value of capital assets over the last 20 years. Governmental activities over the same period has seen capital assets decline primarily to the Portland Building Reconstruction. It's kind of edged up just a little bit over the last couple of years, but it's still, you could call it flat, but it's slightly declining. Next slide, please.
May I ask a quick question here? And you could, well, is PBOT on the governmental side or the business side?
Governmental, yeah.
Okay, thank you.
This slide shows the governmental activities, revenues, and expenses gradually increase, and revenue edged above expenses for the first time in fiscal year 22. For governmental activities, expenses include adjustments related to pensions on the accrual basis of accounting. Pension accounting has some interesting impacts that aren't really intuitive. For example, in FY22, the pension expense for police and fire fell, and that was solely due to the fact that interest rates are going up. So you have to discount all those costs back, or the actuary does. And they use some rate of deflation to deflate that back to a current value and come up with a net present value of that stream of expenditures is going out into the future. And the higher the interest rate is, the lower the liability is. So we actually benefited from interest rates increases for this particular number. Pension expense also fell for non-sworn personnel because PERS had an exceptional investment year. They had double-digit investment returns last year. Not so good this year. The final slide in our next slide, please.
Excuse me, if I could just jump in here. Can we go back to the previous slide? Just so I'm clear, and the public's clear too, this shows we're going back almost a decade here. We're showing that our expenses are consistently higher than our revenues, which I think most people looking at that chart would go, that's a bad and problematic thing. Can you just make it very transparent how we manage to be?
Well, the difference is going to be even more extreme when we move on to the next slide and look at business type activities. So we've got a delta there.
Yeah.
So for budgetary basis, we include our principal payments as part of it. We budget our principal expenditures. So when you look at budgetary basis, you've got that principal in there.
Yep.
When we move to accrual-based accounting, which is what we're using here, the principal disappears. So that delta is kind of, you've got to have a delta just to cover your principal payments on your debt.
Okay. Let's go on to the next slide. Sure, Commissioner Hardesty.
Thank you, President Mapps. Maybe another way to ask that same question would be, over the last couple of years, the city of Portland has had a lot of one-time money that has come from the federal government. Is that why the chart kind of reflects for the very first time we have more income than money going out?
Probably not, because with like CARES and ARPA, we cannot recognize that revenue until we spent the money. So for grants, we've got revenue and expense going up, but they should be going up in tandem. The difference here is primarily because pension expense went down. Pension. So both FPD&R for sworn, because of that interest rate thing, that expense went down, and then PERS, they had a great year, which caused our pension expense for everybody else to go down. So it was kind of a combination of factors. But I would say that difference is primarily pension. Thank you.
Of course, please continue.
And next slide. So the final slide looks at revenues and expenses for business type. And while expenses remain fairly constant, revenues have gone up. And like I said, the delta relates to debt service. And, I've got another. This is my last slide, so I'm going to be transferring. But I got my little thing of a body here. So anyway, it makes for an interesting dynamic, but also for business type, net position has been going up. So that's part of the delta. There is their net position has been going up also. But a big part of that is just the principal payments that they got to pay on their billions of dollars of outstanding debt. Any questions here? So next slide, and I'll turn it over to Kevin to talk about governmental funds.
Thank you, Ron. Good afternoon, members of the City Council. For the record, my name is Kevin Sanders, and I am the accounting supervisor for the financial reporting team of the Bureau of Revenue and Financial Services. We're now going to turn our attention towards the governmental funds reporting from the FY22 Annual Comprehensive Financial Report. Governmental funds differ from the government-wide reporting that Ron discussed in that they provide information on specific bureaus, programs, and or funds in place at the city. Governmental funds are used to account for activities primarily supported by taxes, grants, and similar revenue sources. Additionally, the city has proprietary funds and fiduciary funds that we use, but for the sake of time, we will focus on the city's governmental funds. Here we are moving from the accrual basis of accounting to the modified accrual basis of accounting. There are five types of funds that fall into the governmental funds category. Those are the general fund, special revenue funds, debt service funds, capital projects funds, and permanent funds. The general fund is the city's main operating fund and accounts for all financial resources not accounted for in any of the other funds. Special revenue funds account for proceeds of specific resources that are restricted or committed to expenditure for specified purposes other than debt service or capital projects. The city reports 23 special revenue funds, including two major funds, those being the PBOT operating fund and the grants fund. Debt service funds are used to accumulate resources in anticipation of future debt service principal and interest payments. The city currently has 21 funds that fall into this category. Capital projects funds are used to account for financial resources that are restricted, committed, or assigned for capital outlays, including the acquisition or construction of capital facilities and other capital assets. This type of fund enables us to distinguish between operating activities and capital activities of the city. Finally, the city has one permanent fund called the Parks Endowment Fund, which is used to account for financial resources that are restricted such that only earnings and not principal can be used to support the fund's intended purpose. Next slide, please. Overall, from fiscal year 2020-21 to fiscal year 2021-22, we'll see that revenues increased and expenditures decreased in the governmental funds, which led to a fund balance increase of $217 million. This represents an 18% increase to the governmental funds fund balance during this most recent fiscal year. Next slide, please. On this graph, we can see a 10-year trend of revenues versus expenditures for the governmental funds in total. They've generally maintained a close relationship to one another over the years, which is what we expect from funds whose primary purpose is to provide service to our citizens. Next slide. Here we're looking at the same 10-year trend of revenues and expenditures, but now broken out by fund type. We can see more volatility here with the capital projects funds trending towards the negative side of the graph. This trend is due to these funds generally having more expenditures than revenues, which is made up by transfers from other funds that will receive the capital assets once they're placed into service. Also, we can see that the debt service funds experienced a decline in revenues over expenditures from fiscal year 2020 to 2021. This is due to the COVID pandemic and the sharp decline in revenues we experienced during that time, with no corresponding drop in expenditures, since those expenditures are based upon bond-related debt already in place before the pandemic. We can also see that this trend is beginning to recover in this most recent fiscal year. Next slide. A major fund is an accounting term that identifies certain funds that, due to the size or other qualitative factors, are reported separately from all of the city's other funds. The city has three major funds that fall into the governmental funds category. These are the general fund, the Portland Bureau of Transportation's fund, and the grants fund. Next slide. The general fund's revenues and expenditures have been steadily increasing in tandem over the past decade, with a slightly additional increase of revenues over expenditures in this most recent fiscal year. Next slide. The Portland Bureau of Transportation's funds also has seen the general trend of steadily increasing revenues and expenditures, with revenues dropping below expenditures over the past few years. Next slide. Finally, the grants fund revenues and expenditures have followed each other closely over the past decade. Due to the reimbursement nature of the grants fund, where funds are spent first and that spending is then reimbursed to the receipt of grants funds, expenditures are generally slightly above revenues as expected. This concludes my part of the presentation. Thank you for your time, and I will turn you over to Sheila Craig, who will walk you through the city's single audit for fiscal year 2020.
Now it's time. Next slide, please. Thank you, Kevin. Good morning, City Council, members of City Council. For the record, my name is Sheila Craig, and I am the Grants Manager for the Grants Management Division of the Bureau of Revenue and Financial Services. Next slide. The schedule of expenditures of federal awards, also known as the CEFA or single audit, we call it many different things, is in the final stages of completion. The final report will be delivered to each one of your offices in the following weeks. The preparation of the CEFA is an extensive project which requires a group effort to make it a success. Involvement is needed from all the city bureaus, the city auditor's office, and our independent auditors, Moss Adams, to ensure the timely and successful completion of this report. The Grants Management Division, responsible for preparing the CEFA, ensuring its accuracy and working with the auditors throughout the process. Under uniform guidance, a non-federal entity that expends $750,000 or more in federal awards during the non-federal entity's fiscal year must have a single audit conducted. The city is reporting $225 million in federal expenditures in fiscal year 22. Next slide, please. In the past 5 years, the city has seen a steady increase in the amount of federal funding. Federal expenditures have increased over $100 million since fiscal year 18. Of course, this is mainly due to CARES COVID response funding. Next slide, please.
Can I ask a question on the last slide? What's the dotted line showing us here? Is that just a trend line or something?
Yes, slope? Just the increase over the last 5 years in federal funding.
Okay, thank you.
In fiscal year 22, 16 bureaus had federally funded programs and $59 million were passed through to our external partners. Next slide, please. We are currently in the final review stages of the CEFA. Current reports are showing that there are no material weaknesses, no significant deficiencies, no audit findings, no financial statement findings, no federal award findings or question costs for fiscal year 22, and the city will qualify as a low-risk auditee. The city has received zero findings and qualified as a low-risk auditee for the past 5 years. That is all the excitement I have for the single audit, and now we're going to turn it over to our external auditors if you don't have any questions about the single audit. Thank you.
All right. Good afternoon, members of the City Council. This feels really good to be here in front of you. I was just telling them that it's been since 2019, since the last time I was sitting here in front of many of you and presenting on the audit. So last couple of years of doing that virtually, it's really good to be back here doing this in person. So it's nice to see all of you. For our presentation, you heard a lot of the good news already from your staff. Lots of good news to share with you, and I'm going to be giving you a little more insight into our process, what it took to kind of get to this end point from our perspective. You can hear the results directly from us and give you an opportunity to ask any questions that you might have about our process and the final results in this. I go ahead and advance the slides, please. So briefly, we're going to be going through our engagement team. I'm kind of lonely up here by myself. There's a huge team behind me. There's a number of different components of the city that we audit outside of just the core city of Portland itself. So we'll talk through that. You'll see some of our different team members on here, so you know it's not just me up here doing all this work by myself, because there's no way that I could do that. We'll talk through kind of the different reports that we issue, what it means when you hire an independent external auditor to perform a financial statement audit, what are the different reports you can expect to receive. So we'll talk through those. We'll talk through a little bit about our audit process. What are the different procedures that we can employ as we're going through this process to give you these reports at the end of the day? Because really all you see are those reports and you don't see the in-between. So we'll talk a little bit about what are those procedures that we go through to feel comfortable about the accuracy and the fairness of the presentation of the city's financial results. We'll go through what those actual final audit reports say, and then go through some of our required communications. There's an additional letter that we issue as part of every audit that we do. It's required by our professional standards, and it's called our communication to those charged with governance. It's a mouthful. I really wish they'd changed the terminology for that. But it's just a letter to tell you a little bit more other than what's in those reports that's attached to your financial statements. That goes out to the world, goes out to bondholders, goes out to rating agencies, goes out to the residents of the city. Gives you a little more insight onto what we encountered as we went through this process. Go ahead and advance the slides. So this is diving into our team. There's a couple slides here actually to fit the core group. This isn't everyone definitely, but the core of our team. Myself, again, I'm Keith Simovic, partner with Moss Adams. I've been involved on the city's audit for a number of years now and have stepped into the engagement reviewer role. So I'm responsible for setting our audit plan, overseeing all of our staff's work that they're doing, taking responsibility ultimately for the final audit results in our audit reports. Lori Tisch is a very experienced partner from our firm. She leads our firm's governmental services practice that I'm involved in, of course, as well, and work primarily with local governments is really all I do. Lori is in that same boat as well, but leads our firm's national practice for government services, and she is really involved as the quality control reviewer, someone that's not really connected to anyone here at the city and none of the staff. They don't sit in with any of the staff at any meetings, really intended to be unbiased, cold reviewer coming in, making sure, did we actually do what we said we were going to do? Did we do an appropriate risk assessment? Did we miss anything? Do all the final audit reports include all the bells and whistles that they should have as well and meet all the governmental accounting standards? So a very key role. Happy to have someone like Lori involved again this year. Mandy Hale stepped in for the second year now. She served as our manager on the city's financial statement audit. So she was overseeing our team during our field work. And of course, we actually got to do a little bit of a hybrid approach this year, which was fantastic. Your staff offered to host us for a period of time during our field work. So we got to come on site and do some face-to-face work again. Imagine that during an audit, right? We've been pretty good at doing it remotely these last few years, but it was great to be back on site for some of that as well. So Mandy led our team for that. And go ahead and advance the slides. I'll go through these pretty quick. Harvey Wang, he's a manager, serves only local governments as well. And he really served and worked on the single audit, as well as the Prosper Portland audit, which is, of course, Prosper Portland, their financial statements are included in the city's annual comprehensive financial report. So we do a standalone report for them as well. And Harvey was the manager on both of those engagements. Daniel Hyman was our lead, what we call our senior or in charge senior. So she led our team for the Prosper Portland fieldwork that we did. She's been on that engagement for a number of years. Ed Solian was our lead senior on the utilities portion of the city's audit. So we actually kind of bring a separate group out that has a lot of expertise working with municipal utilities and do some of the work surrounding that area. And then Elise Horsley stepped in to serve as our senior manager on the FPDR engagement. So you can see there's a lot of different moving pieces with this and a lot of different teams. And as I said, this is the core team. We have a lot of staff and dozens of folks involved as well, and I'm sure all of the staff sitting behind me are used to hearing from a lot of our people. It just gives you a little flavor of our full team and kind of the breadth and depth of the services that we offer. Go ahead and advance the slides.
Can I jump in here and ask a quick question?
Of course.
Just so I have a sense of the scope of the how big of a project this is, how many people did you have working on this audit, and when did you start?
So we start the audits at different times, depending on which component. They all kind of finalize right around the same time, right around the end of October.
Okay.
And I'd say the city's in a very good position in terms of when they finalize compared to a lot of other local governments. I mean, yeah. They're really, and they've made a huge effort over the last 5-6 years, something like that, to move up the time frame for that. So all of them issue kind of right at around the end of October. A lot of them start somewhere around the, you know, we start getting into conversations even as early as probably March and April about planning, and we start diving into our field work as early as probably May and June. And doing some of our internal control evaluations that we start. So it's a long process throughout the year.
And I was.
Oh, and how many people?
Sorry. 7 people or.
So for the city's audit itself, we probably have anywhere from 10 to 12 people involved over the course of time. For the FPDNR engagement, we probably have about 4 people involved. Prosper Portland, there's probably another 7 involved. MHCRC, I didn't mention that one. That's another one. We probably have another 3 people involved. The single audit, we probably had about 5 or 6 people involved. So all in, there could be about 25 to 30 people.
Okay, thank you. Massive project. I appreciate it. You can carry on.
Very good question. So I know there's a lot of words on here, but I just want to go through these briefly to give you an idea of what are the different deliverables that we issue. And you heard about some of these from the finance team, of course. But box one, this is probably the report that you might be most familiar with, that the public might be the most familiar with. That's our audit report that we issue over the fairness and accuracy of the financial statements. That's really the one that you see front and center as you, if you dare to open up the annual comprehensive financial report. And I know Commissioner Hardesty was holding that up earlier. It's a thick document. It's 400 and something pages now. But that report is kind of towards the front of it. And that's the main report that most people are probably familiar with. And through all the work that we do to trace things back to substantive records, right? Do we see evidence that there's invoices, contracts, agreements, cash payments, cash receipts? Substantive evidence to support what is recorded, what is presented in that document, is it actually a fair and accurate picture of the city's financial results for the year? So those are some of the procedures that we go through to get to that point. Also connected to that is really box 2, the technical review of that document. That document has to be prepared in a very specific way to follow the governmental accounting standards. Not only that, you've got a team that goes above and beyond and has for a number of years, as you heard from your team just a minute ago. They've go above and beyond and present a full, what we call now an ACFR, the Annual Comprehensive Financial Report, that's got additional documents and pieces in it that aren't actually required by the state or for bondholders or anything like that. It's something that they go above and beyond to put that together for any third party that wants to get their hands on this document and be able to apply for the GFOA Government Finance Officers Association Certificate of Achievement of Excellence in Financial Reporting. Another mouthful, but one that the city has had a long tenure of obtaining that award each and every year. So not only do you meet the bare minimum requirements, you've got staff that have got the chops to be able to put that document together and have obtained that award for, I think I saw, 41 straight years. So very, very impressive. And I was just presenting to another local government yesterday, and I think they were about 20 years. So you've got a few in the area B, definitely. Very good news there. Box 3 has to do with an additional report that we have to issue in accordance with government auditing standards. Not only do we have to comply with our professional standards, but government auditing standards requires us to issue a separate report if we noted things like what we would call material weaknesses or significant deficiencies. Lots of words there. That's kind of the highest level of severity in our audit speak of something where we'd say, hey, you're missing a check and balance in place to catch something before it slips through the cracks and an error goes unnoticed, or even fraud could go unnoticed. Those are the types of things that could get reported in this type of report, and that's what the government auditing standards requires us to put in there.
And just to be clear, is there anything in that bucket for us this year?
No, there are no material weaknesses or significant deficiencies to note.
Great, thank you.
Very good question. Box 4, there's an additional report, very unique to the state of Oregon. Every Oregon municipal corporation has to have their auditor look at certain compliance areas, and there's a bullet point list in that report that we issue within your ACFR report that notes the different areas we looked at. I'd say the areas we spend the bulk of our time is going to be compliance with local budget law, as well as compliance with procurement standards. There's a number of other areas that we look at as well that are listed in that report, but those are the ones where we spend the bulk of our time. Box five is really related to that single audit. You heard from Sheila just a little bit ago, talking a little bit about that. And that's an additional report that we have to issue in years where you spend more than $750,000 in federal funding. Definitely have passed that this year and have as long as I've been involved with this engagement. That's something we have to say for the programs that we look at. And there's a certain way that we pick which federal programs we have to look at each and every year. Were there any compliance findings with how those funds were spent? Did you follow all the underlying grant agreements? That's what we're reporting out with that report. Then finally, I mentioned the communication to those charged with governance. We'll talk about that a little more here in a second. Go ahead and advance the slides. Just real brief, these are the different audit engagements that we're involved in. I think I've kind of mentioned a lot of these already. You can see the different reports that we issue. Not only are they a lot of these components combined in the City of Portland's ACFR, but a lot of them have standalone reports as well. And of course, President Mapps mentioned some of the different or asked about all the different teams that we've got, how many people. You can see the different deliverables that we're issuing in connection with each and every one of those. Go ahead and advance the slides. So for our audit process, this just gives you a little more flavor of, well, how do we get to this point? Okay, at the end of the day, we start this thing in April, we finish in October, here we're presenting to you today. How did we get to this point? There's a number of different procedures that we can employ to really test whether that document is fair and accurate. One that's very, very important, where we spend a lot of time, and we do a lot of this up front, probably in the May, June, July timeframe, is looking at internal controls, that system of checks and balances that the city has in place to be able to really make sure that errors don't slip through the cracks within the system, right? So we want to understand what are the reviews, approvals, reconciliations that are happening to make sure by the time that we start looking at final numbers that really they've already been through kind of an internal audit through those internal controls in place. So a very key piece, IT is a big piece of that as well, because internal controls are in much more of an electronic environment today than they ever have been. So it really is important to understand who has access to the system and what can they do. Analytical procedures are another way that we test our balances. That's really taking a 30,000 foot view and saying, hey, is there anything that's really not jiving with what we've read maybe in the minutes over the course of the year? What transactions we know transpired during the year? If there's certain things that we're seeing in the budget document that we know we expected certain transactions to run through this system and we're not seeing that. Those are the types of things that we take that 30,000 foot view and dive down deeper if we're seeing things that just don't quite make sense with what we're seeing. And then our substantive procedures, that's where we spend the bulk of our time. I mentioned this up front, whether that's vouching to substantive documentation. We send third-party confirmations out to any depositories, your debt holders as well, just making sure what they're showing on their side is consistent with what the city is showing as well. Go ahead and advance the slides. So good news here, and this is really kind of echoing things that you heard earlier. And of course, President Mapps, you asked earlier about the Government Auditing Standards Report. Did I have any findings along the lines of a material weakness or significant deficiency? Well, this lays it all out there for you for all the different reports that we issue. And as you can see across the board, this is as clean as you could hope for in this process. Says a lot about the internal controls that you have in place and the team that you have in place to get to this point. Over the course of the last year, been able to continue having a very good set of internal controls to be able to put together a very clean set of financial documents that we go through, can test without significant or material errors in the process. So very, very good news. Clean opinion on the financial statements and no findings in any of the other reports that we noted earlier. Go ahead and advance the slide. In that separate letter I mentioned, that gives you a little more insight into the audit process, there's bullet points on here that are consistent with the different paragraphs we have in there. A lot of that is prescribed by our professional standards. I'm not going to go through each one in depth. But the things I always like to call out explicitly, one, were there any audit adjustments? This would be, as we're starting our testing, is there anything that we noted an error, material error, in what we're looking at? Something that wasn't recorded the right amount, they couldn't find documentation for it, wasn't recorded in the right period. Things like that are kind of what we're looking for that could drive a material audit adjustment. We didn't have any of those in the current year. So through all the testing we did, everything looked very clean. We didn't have to make any adjustments to be able to give a clean audit opinion. So everything was clean right up front. Again, I mentioned we didn't have any internal control deficiencies to note, other than best practices that we continue to work with your team on. Outside of that, we always mentioned, were there any difficulties in performing the audit? This goes back to scope exceptions. Was there anything where we asked for a piece of documentation and they didn't give it to us, or we asked a question they didn't want to answer? None of that happened. There weren't any limitations on the work that we did, which could potentially impact our ability to give a clean opinion. So very, very good news there. Everyone we felt was very transparent in this process, gave us all the documentation we needed. And I promise you, it's more than probably even hundreds of pieces of documentation, probably thousands of pieces of documentation that they're providing to us in this process. Everything that we asked for, we received. All right, go ahead and advance the slides. Again, I already kind of mentioned thank you to the staff for hosting us on site for part of this, definitely, and making this a very, very smooth process. Getting to this point again for the city, we're again, you know, in this effort over the last 5, 6, 7 years to move this process up earlier, continue to hit that each and every year by the end of October has been very, very impressive, and we appreciate continuing to work with the team here at the city. Any questions?
Colleagues, any questions at this moment? Thank you very much.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
And is that the end of the formal presentation? Excellent. Keelan, do we have any public testimony?
We do have one person signed up, Kevin Matches.
Welcome, Kevin.
So there should be some PowerPoint slides, but hopefully those come up. But thank you. I'm Kevin Matches. I'm a CFA charter holder. I urge you to take action on the Portland Fire and Police Disability and Retirement Bureau. The city charter defines the funding policy of the pension plan for police and firefighters first sworn before 2007 and puts FPDR on a pay-as-you-go basis. Property taxes pay benefit payments as they come due in retirement, but no money is ever set aside to fund pension benefit payments before those benefit payments are due. This is a curse on the long-term financial condition of the city of Portland. I urge the city to request its actuary provide a comprehensive, an analysis of a comprehensive actuarial funding policy. Turning to slide 2, the only two places in the United States using a pay-as-you-go approach are Portland and Puerto Rico. Turning to slide 3, this puts Portland out of line versus peers and best practice. Indeed, Portland has the most costly public pension in the United States. The left side of this chart shows Portland police and firefighters. The right side of this chart is Oregon PERS participants. The important difference is the ludicrous annual actuarial costs associated with Portland's pensions, shown in red. It's costing Portland more than twice as much to employ a single member compared to the rest of Oregon. Turning to the next slide, I see several benefits to getting off pay as you go. First, it would improve the transparency of compensation. Costs shouldn't be hidden by passing them off to future generations of taxpayers. Second, it would move the system towards intergenerational equity. Third, it would reduce cumulative long-term costs. Finally, it would mitigate the city's financial risk. Turning to slide 5, let's talk about red flags. The city auditor has made repeated recommendations since 2011 that the city has failed to implement to reduce the expected increases in the FPDR tax levy, including both alternative funding sources and methods to control pension costs, to reconsider options to pre-fund and or reduce the costs of FPDR. Turning to the next slide, city staff's response to the city auditor in 2013, OMF agrees that the fiscal challenges facing the city are considerable, including increasing pension liabilities. Turning to slide 7, the firm hired by the city to audit its financial statements, that's Moss Adams, you just heard their representative, quote, there are at least a couple significant consequences or risks of the city's current declining net position trends. One often overlooked consequence is the inherent unfairness that results when future generations end up paying significant portion of costs by past users. In addition, there's increased risk that prior obligations will not allow sufficient resources left over to maintain current service levels. Turning to the next slide, FPDR's own financial statements regularly disclose that property tax compression under state law would be a risk to the city before any theoretical breach of a limit created by the city charter and is analyzed by the actuary, which your controller just mentioned that analysis. Turning to the next slide, shown here is contemporary press coverage of savage spending cuts to the children's levy fund that occurred during 2012 due to compression. In a more recent example, proposed bond to fund Portland Fire and Rescue had to be shelved due to tax fatigue. Turning to the next slide, FPDR board reviewed alternative funding policies analyzed by the actuary in 2011 amid increasing risks, but those were never implemented. To the next slide, national experts have also commented on Portland's issues. And the next slide, you may be aware that the city has a credit rating of AAA they've had since 1976. Credit ratings agency Moody's placed the city of Portland on rating under review for downgrade on November 3. The pension is a central focus of their review. Final slide, the next one, request your actuary provide an analysis of a comprehensive actuarial funding policy. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Kevin. Kevin, I appreciate your crisp presentation and argument. I would appreciate it if you could at least send those slides to my office, and I'll make sure that the appropriate oversight people take a look at what you're mentioning. Thank you very much.
That completes testimony.
Thank you. That completes testimony. Colleagues, do we have any questions or comments at this time? No. Okay. This is a report. Keelan, could you please call the roll?
Would you like a motion?
Oh, yes.
I move that we adopt the report as presented.
Second.
Thank you very much, both for the reminder and for the motion. Keelan, could you please call the roll?
Rubio.
I just want to thank Moss Adams for the presentation and the staff for your great work every year, as usual. I'm very happy to vote aye.
Ryan.
Thank you for the great presentation. I've run organizations that have concerns, and these can be really long, difficult meetings. So it's always nice to be on the other side of that. Well done. I vote aye.
Hardesty.
I want to thank the Revenue Division for their great work, as always. I want to thank Moss Adams for keeping the trend alive, that we have an excellent audit with no bad notes attached to it. It's been an honor for 4 years to consistently hear that message. The fact that we, the City of Portland, have had that record for 41 years and counting is absolutely phenomenal for any government. And it does say a lot of good things about the Office of Revenue at the City of Portland and their attention to detail. Kevin, I don't want you to think we did not hear you. We did hear you, and we have this conversation also every year when we have this report. I got to tell you, if I was putting together the police and fire retirement today, I would be in where you are at this moment. But as you know, I didn't get to put it together. I inherited it. And my colleagues are inheriting it as well. And, you know, the good news is that since 2010, I believe, all firefighters and police officers are now part of PERS. And so as the retirements continue to happen, any police officers that have been hired or firefighters hired since 2010 are now under a system that's much more transparent. It's still gonna cost us a gazillion dollars, but at least you'll know it's gonna cost us a gazillion dollars, and you don't just get it trickling once a year into your tax bill. And so didn't want you to think that we just like politely listen and didn't hear you, but I certainly understand the desire for more transparency. But I'm very happy to vote aye, and I am happy to applaud the Division of Revenue for the incredible work they do year in and year out, regardless of who's watching. Thank you.
Maps.
I'd like to start out by congratulating the Revenue Division for their great work. And I want to thank Moss Adams for that very clear presentation and this very thorough audit. As has been noted several times today, this report documents many things the city is doing well. For example, the city excels at long-term financial planning, and we excel at financial oversight. At the same time, despite these strengths, I believe there are areas where the city needs to do better. For example, I am concerned about the condition of the city's material assets. According to the 2021 citywide asset report, 22% of the city's assets, representing about $13 billion, are in poor or very poor condition. Despite the urgent need here, recently this council voted to waive the city's policy to set aside half of our ending fund balance for major maintenance. I understand why we made that choice. However, that decision is also what unsustainable financial policy looks like. There's a second area where I have concerns about the city's performance, and that area deals with program evaluation. This council has done a good job of identifying our top priorities, which include houselessness, community safety, and economic recovery. However, we have not done a good job at holding ourselves accountable for achieving these goals. I believe council should strive to build a more accountable government, and I believe that we can build a more accountable government by setting clear performance metrics for the programs we fund, by evaluating programs against those performance measures, by reinvesting in successful programs, and by having the courage to change course when our investments failed to yield results for Portlanders. Now, next year, I look forward to extending the city's long record at successful financial management. And next year, I pledge to work with council to shore up our city's asset management program and our program evaluation efforts. In the meantime, I am glad to accept these reports. I vote aye, and the measure passes. And Keelan, I believe that completes our work for today.
It does.
All right, we are adjourned. Thank you, everybody.